everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. It's time for another episode of It's All About Food. Are you ready? I'm here with Gary DiMattei.
I'm ready.
You're ready. I'm ready.
It has been a while since we've been together.
It has been a while. It's been
2 weeks.
A couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah. You rebroadcast our show last week.
I did.
The week before.
I've been doing a bunch of rebroadcasting because we've just been globetrotting.
We've been on the road, as they say. But now we're home.
We're home.
We're back in New York. New York. New York.
Yeah, I'm kicking, but you can't see it. Dun, 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 yeah. Dun, dun.
Remember when we were in the pandemic lockdown? And we would go out on our terrace every night at 7.
Yeah.
And they would cheer for the essential workers. And then they would wrap it up with a chorus. If you were listening to a certain radio station, they would wrap it up with a chorus of Frank Sinatra singing New York, New York.
That's right.
Or was that us that played New York, New York?
I think it was us. WQXR.
Right.
And they always played some classical piece that lasted... that would end right at 7 so that we could start. I think it was us. I think we were the ones playing New York, New York.
Or, yeah, anyway, it seems like years ago, but like it wasn't.
Seems like years ago. And since you brought it up, Gary, I want to bring up something else. We were out on our terrace and we were cheering and applauding and expressing gratitude for what's become known as the essential workers.
Right.
And the essential workers included the healthcare professionals, the doctors, the nurses, the aides, all the people that were there at the front lines when we didn't understand what this virus was. Not that we do today, but we have a little better handle of it. And also the people who were delivering our food, getting our food to our plates. And there are many people in that long line.
People picking the food, growing the food.
Growing and harvesting and delivering and packing and shipping and delivering again. There's a lot of transport going on with food.
And the supply chain, which you're hearing a lot about now, being interrupted.
Yes. And I want to bring up one business that we have taken advantage of over the years and we're so grateful for at the beginning of the pandemic and for the first year or so at least.
Very sad news, yes.
Go Organic. NYC.
Go Organic NYC.
There were a distributor of organic food in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens. They brought us some incredibly beautiful food.
Yes. And they are no longer in business.
And they are no longer. They were in business for 10 years and COVID killed them. Just like COVID has killed or harmed so many businesses.
I take my personal responsibility because we've been out of town and I feel personally responsible because we haven't ordered from them for 3 months. And then when we got back, we put in the order last night and it wouldn't let us. And I thought, well, maybe they don't deliver to Queens anymore. And so you contacted the owner.
Yes, who's always been very responsive and very helpful, Brian Lay. Perhaps he will be able to come back and do something else. But here's my concern, Gary, our food supply.
Right.
And who's got control of it.
Right.
And when small businesses can't make it.
Right.
Because when there's only a handful of big businesses in control, we used to call that a monopoly, and they weren't allowed, but they sure are around now.
Oh, more than ever.
And when a few small companies, corporations, people control something,
it puts other people out of business.
It puts people out of business, but also then they can do whatever they want. They can lower the quality, they can raise the prices.
And they could slow the supply.
And slow the supply and then raise prices.
Right.
So
it's been happening forever, but it's getting scarier and scarier. There is no good news, Karen.
We're just reporting
nothing but bad news.
I know, and I don't like to spread fear.
It's not fear. I mean, we have talked a lot about Go Organic NYC on this program. We have tried to get the word out about them. They deliver a beautiful box of vegetables to us once a week for the last couple of years, more than that.
Well, they've been around for 10 years, and we've been using them since they started, just not consistently because we're not always physically here in New York City.
And what it's like is it was like getting a CSA once a week at your front door.
Yeah, it was nicer than a CSA. In fact, we stopped using our CSA because Go Organic NYC was more convenient. I hate using that word. But you could choose what you wanted.
Right. You could choose what
and
you wanted.
And it came to your door.
But it was always still a surprise to see what they sent.
Some weeks the kale or some weeks the collards were just so big and muscly and gorgeous.
And you could tell that they were organic because they had little ladybugs on them all the time.
Yeah.
Brian, we miss you. We wish you well and your family.
So the point is, we have to support these small businesses, local farmers. If you're part of a CSA, wonderful. We're going to have to join a CSA, obviously.
Or do something. Maybe start an organic farm. And
start an organic farm. There we go.
Just supply ourselves. The Responsible yeah. Eating and Living Organic Farm.
Something's got
to
do.
Has a nice ring to it. I wonder if we could fit a farm on our terrace.
We started that a few times.
Right.
But then we always leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have some challenges here. But if you're growing food, if you know some great food businesses that you like in New York City or anywhere, let us know.
And we will promote you and we will also buy from you.
Yes.
Because we're looking for an organic produce connection. We do have a nice market down the street. It's called The Natural. And they have an organic section. And we spent $3.99 on a head of kale the other day. That was shocking.
Yeah, their prices can be a little high.
They're family-owned, I guess.
Yeah, and they've been around for a long time. You know, there are stores like Whole Foods, and yeah. We shop there. But I don't like them anymore. They're not the same as they used to be.
Whenever we can, we shop in other places, but once in a while, we have to drop into Whole Foods or go hungry. So maybe we should go hungry.
Maybe we should do a fast for a while.
A slow fast.
Slow fast, yeah. Yes.
Today is Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday. You know what that means.
And that means that on Monday of next week, it's Valentine's Day.
Oh.
So I have to ask you here on the air, will you be my Valentine?
Gary, you're making me smile.
Of course. Well, we usually have some really cool shows about chocolate. Like in the past, we've done Andrea Young, a friend of ours, who owns and operates, speaking of small businesses. And this is all about small business today. And about big business interfering with small business. Andrea Young has a company called Sweet Vegan. We've had her on the show. We had her on the show, as recently as last year in April, I think it was. Yeah.
We Zoomed
with Andrea.
After she sent us a sample.
She sent us a box, and we want to give a shout out to Andrea. But if you're looking to buy some vegan treats for your loved one, give Andrea a try. She's at Sweet Vegan NYC on Instagram, Sweet Vegan NYC on Twitter, and her Facebook page is Sweet Vegan Chocolates. If you go to one of those three pages, you can find her website. We'll put it up in the link for today's show. Chef Andrea Young is the founder of Sweet Vegan. She has some great candy. She works her vegan tail off, right?
Yeah, she sure does.
She does. A big shout out to Andrea. If you're doing that chocolate thing this coming Monday, the 14th, you still have time to order from Andrea. I'm sure she will accept orders up until the end of the week.
Now, we like chocolate.
We
don't eat a lot of chocolate for a number of reasons. And the chocolate that we get usually is a very dark chocolate that has a low sugar content. We had chocolate the other day, a little too late at night.
Oh, kept us up all night.
Kept us up.
I think also a lot of other things kept us up, but yeah, that was one of them.
Yeah, the caffeine. Beware of the caffeine in chocolate. I know some people like to have a little square after dinner, maybe two squares. Just make sure it's not before you're going to bed.
Right.
It'll give you a little kick.
But Andrea does some really great chocolates, and she's a certified vegan chef as well as a graduate of Parsons School of Design. And after a long career as an interior architect, she began working as a part-time private chef for celebrities.
Hmm.
And so she's taken off now with her Sweet Vegan chocolates. So give Andrea a try.
Very nice. So let me ask you, Gary.
Yes.
What would you like for Valentine's Day?
The other small business I want to talk about, nice segue, Karen, is Organic Grill. In Manhattan. And they're a small, privately owned business. What would I like for Valentine's Day? I would like to go to Organic Grill and maybe have some Pincus.
There you go.
Last time I was there, I had three bottles of Pincus.
Pincus is an organic beer that Gary likes, and we can't find it anymore.
Can't find it anywhere.
Except it's at Organic Grill.
I think the supply chain has been interrupted. Well, I first had a Pincus in Manhattan at the old Candle restaurants, and I can't go to Candle anymore because they're no longer there. So I think
Blossom have it?
Blossom had it too, yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to check them all out to see if we could find it.
Organic Grill, though. That's a really cool place in the East Village. Yeah. Check out Organic Grill. It's really a cool place.
So for some people that I know that are eating SOS-free, salt, oil, and sugar-free.
Right.
Holidays are challenging, especially when you're vegan. Somebody wants to give you a box of chocolates, and it's like, I don't want to eat sugar.
Right.
But we do have some wonderful SOS-free desserts at our website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and you might try some of them, and you may find it hard to believe that they are actually salt, oil, and sugar-free.
Well, the Organic Grill is not.
Yeah, that's full of oil and salt and sugar, but we like
sugar,
it for a treat.
And oil. But they do have a lot of really clean food there. Less salt, less oil, less sugar. And their menu is great. They are, in fact, one of the first organic and vegan restaurants on the Lower East Side of Manhattan since the summer of 2000. So another small business that we like to promote today. They're at 123 First Avenue, New York, New York. You can get more info if you go to their website, theorganicgrill.com. And we've been on their show and they've been on our show. And
we had Vladimir on at the beginning of the pandemic asking him what he was doing. And he was closed at the time.
Right. So
they opened up as soon as they could.
They do a great job on social media. And I just want to give them a shout out, as well as Andrea, who does an amazing job on social media. Those are two small little businesses that are hanging in there. I'd like to let everyone know that is in that area. If you want a place to go, pick up some takeout or sit there at the restaurant. Organic Grill is a great spot. And of course, you just mentioned Blossom. Love those guys. Sad that Candle Cafes. And
all three of them are just a
around.
Memory.
But those were our memories, our good memories that we made on Valentine's Day. Many times we would go to Candle or one of the other restaurants I mentioned. Another small business down there in that same area as Organic Grill is Caravan of Dreams.
Oh, they've been around forever.
Now, they have been around a long time, and I'm going to give them a shout out as well.
Yeah.
You happen to personally know the owner.
Angel. I know Angel, the owner, or Angel, however you want to pronounce his
right.
name.
Right, and Angel has been in the business a long time.
Oh, my goodness. He was like one of the first.
Right. I wonder how they're doing. We haven't been there in a while.
Maybe we'll go there.
Maybe we should go there.
I've always loved their menu because Angel has stayed on top of the trends and offers a very wide range of vegan food. And a lot of it is super healthy. Raw foods, big salads, juices.
Yeah.
And then you've got the treats. You have big food. He's got it covered.
It's a great place to hang out. And you can find them at caravanofdreams.net. That's caravanofdreams.net. And they're a very bohemian place. As a matter of fact, that's how they describe themselves, is a bohemian outfit offering inventive vegan dishes that are kosher and organic, plus live music. And they have a nice little room in the back if you want to have a little gathering.
Yeah.
And I know you used to have some...
Yeah, there were meetings back there and
meetings.
Parties.
Yeah. So it looks like they're still around.
That's amazing.
And they've been...
Well, now that the surge is kind of dying down, it's certainly dying down more here in New York than in California where we were, because New York started surging earlier. Maybe
right.
we can go and eat inside somewhere in this
yeah.
cold weather.
But Organic Grill does have a nice little outdoor seating area too in front for those folks, as does Caravan of Dreams. For folks who don't want to sit indoors. And again, you can order in if you're in the Manhattan downtown area, which I think we should be. So to answer your question, what would I like for Valentine's Day? I would like to walk with you downtown.
That sounds good, Gary.
Kind of hang out.
Yeah.
Maybe see some off Broadway theater.
That hasn't closed.
Because my final shout out is to all of the theaters that are trying desperately to stay open. Not just the Broadway theaters, which you hear so much about all of the time. But you know, there's other theater going on, folks. There's the little theaters in Manhattan that are struggling to stay open. Yes, you're going to hear the news about all of the big behemoth theaters that are struggling to get their shows up and running, and they employ a lot of actors, and I'm not discounting that at all. There's also a lot of little theaters that do theater, wonderful theater, great theater, and you don't hear about them. So check out your little off Broadway theaters and see if they're offering anything for Valentine's Day. Perhaps they are, although it is on a Monday. And normally theaters are dark on Monday.
No matter.
Check it out.
Check it out. I don't know how many of you have seen it. It came out this week in the New York Times. It's part one of, I believe, a three-part series. It's called Meet the People Getting Paid to Kill Our Planet.
Okay.
Great title. American agriculture is ravaging the air, soil, and water. But a powerful lobby has cleverly concealed its damage. It's a brief article. It comes with a 14-minute video. Cory Booker, the U.S. Senator from New Jersey, opens the piece.
Right.
And then you have two other people who are speaking on behalf of organizations that are trying to do something to protect our food system. And of course, Cory Booker is a vegan. Hooray, Cory. We love
What's
you.
What's the name of the article again?
Meet the People Getting Paid to Kill Our Planet. So a few things I want to say about it. Number one, thank you, New York Times, for putting this piece together and presenting it to your readership. And I think it's accessible to everyone, whether or not you have a New York Times account.
It is.
Which is important. I do also want to say, why did it take so long?
Right.
Why did it take so long? And it's part one in a series of three, so we will be getting more on it. But this is something that needs to be front page news every day, and it should have been front page news every day for 30 years.
I agree.
And now we're just getting this little teaser from the New York Times.
Right.
Still, it's a good piece, and I hope a lot of people see it.
Yeah, it starts with a video, too, so a lot of folks don't like to read. You go to the New York Times article, and there's a video there. The video is titled, We're Cooked.
Yeah, there are plenty of puns you could make.
It's an opinion video series about our broken food system, as Karen just mentioned, and three chances you get to help fix it and save the planet every day. So they give you some advice.
They do.
And it's good advice?
Absolutely good advice. And you'll have to go to the end to see what they recommend. I'll give you a hint. Some of it has to do with food. But unfortunately, one of the things they uncover, and I say uncover with a little sarcasm, because we've known this for a long time. What happens in government is they hear from their constituents. Some people want to make some changes. There are nonprofit organizations that are also working and trying to make positive change, trying to improve the food supply, try and make our agricultural system more sustainable, try and make it easier for small farmers,
right.
Everyone,
right.
For small farmers to survive. And also, because our agricultural system is so polluting of the air, the water, including soil erosion and global warming, there are people that have been trying to make policy change so that we can clean up our environment. And then the lobbyists come in, and there are so many of them, and they are so powerful. And they've been working for decades, lining people's pockets and making it impossible to make change. This is a sad story.
Very sad. In that opinion video, I was talking about the Times explores why this is happening. And their focus, as you mentioned, is on American agriculture. An industry that, and this is a quote, while feeding the United States is also damaging the environment, contaminating the air and water, exhausting the soil, destroying wildlife habitats, and spurring climate change. But despite these harms, the sector has largely been spared environmental regulation. This exception reflects, in part, the special place that farmers occupy in the American imagination. But the industry, particularly the big corporations that are increasingly dominating the sector, are also aided by one of the most effective lobbies on the planet. Can't say that enough.
Can't say it enough. And you know what, Gary? We've been talking about this, not just for weeks, for months, for years. And it's funny. Couple of things. had a friend of mine who sent me a link to this article. He's known me since the 80s. He knew me as this crazy, wild vegan who was always complaining at conferences and demanding vegan food. And I think now he realizes I might have been saying something important back then that nobody was listening to. But there have been so many documentaries that have come out. Just as an example, What the Health, Cowspiracy and Seaspiracy, and so many others, Forks Over Knives, Game Changers. They all touch on how our food supply has damaged our environment. And then one of the early ones, Diet for a New America with John Robbins and Dr. Michael Clapper. It's one of the first of its kind. This information has been out there. But what my friend said when he sent me the link and I said, yeah, I saw the article. And he said, you need to watch the video. It's very impressive. And I had already seen the video. And yeah, it's impressive. But there have been a gazillion impressive videos and documentaries out there for so long that nobody's seen.
I think a lot of the news sources that were sending these out, these great documentaries and these great articles, was not the New York Times.
Exactly. No. And where was the New York Times? I'm looking up in the air. Where were you, New York Times? Why weren't you promoting these? And you know, you still can promote them.
Right.
Okay. So hopefully, fortunately, we have Netflix now. And Netflix is one of the media outlets that does offer these documentaries. And I want to say for free, once you have a membership, you can see a lot of these documentaries. Another thing I want to say is on the fabulous Facebook, I'm being sarcastic again. People love to use these little memes. And there are good memes and there are bad memes. And I'm not a meme at all. But I saw a bad meme. Somebody was bemoaning the fact that they spent a lot of money and got very little. And they showed a picture of their produce and it was miniature size. It was super, super tiny under the faucet getting rinsed. And then there were all these comments like, I know, it's terrible. And somebody posts a meme of Joe Biden in some ridiculous position. And he's like, yeah, it's Biden's fault. Okay, folks, first I want to say, it's not Joe Biden's fault. It's not President Joe Biden's fault. There's only so much one person can do. And there's only so much one person who is president can do. Although I do remember a president recently who did a lot of damage. But Biden has not had an impact on our food, our prices. This is something that's been going on for decades. And it's controlled by lobbyists and the few corporations, the few giant agribusinesses that control our food. This is scary.
It's very scary. They can use it as a tool to persuade us politically, which a lot of folks, conspiracy theorists on the left, are saying that that's the end game, is that they will use this to control our vote. That meme, although we know it's ridiculous, a lot of people think that Joe Biden is the reason they're not getting there.
Joe Biden's the reason their 4 chicken fillets cost $22,
right,
which was, to them, a lot of money.
You're going to be seeing a lot more of that. Be informed. One way you can be informed is, as you said, checking out this piece in the New York Times, checking out these documentaries that have been out and now are out on Netflix, the ones that you mentioned. But more than that, listen to this program and tell your friends about this program, because we're here to keep you informed. It's a strange, strange world, and it's getting stranger. We can shed a little light.
I've got some good news, Gary.
Yeah, what is that?
Here in New York City, the school cafeterias switched to an entirely vegan menu on Friday. And
that's great news.
This is part of new efforts by city officials and the Biden administration as well, to help provide critical nutrition for millions of kids. And we know that when children are fed nutritious food and they get adequate calories and excellent nutrition, their behavior improves, they learn better, and crime goes down.
And yet there are still people slamming this because it's vegan and the situation is perfect, but then people are going to condemn it. We're up against a lot of opposition.
Well, we already have Meatless Mondays.
Right.
And there was a lot of opposition for that, but that went through. So now there's Meatless Mondays and Vegan Fridays.
Right.
And hopefully, as children get accustomed to some of these meals, they'll choose them on the other days when
sure
they can.
And if they are educated, as to why this is happening, and they understand the cruelty involved in animal agriculture and factory farming at a younger age, they might stop eating meat sooner and drinking milk. And I know you've had many children's book authors on, but does anyone you know buy that book for their child and read it to them?
I haven't heard.
A lot of people know that these things are out there, but will not buy them for their children.
Oh, they may not even know they're out there, Gary.
Well, I mean, I know that a lot of folks know that they exist because they listen to your program, but they wouldn't buy them for their children because they're afraid that their children are going to learn the truth. Look at what's trying to emerge again is banning books in school.
Right. Telling the truth is not popular. And talking about Vegan Fridays, this is part of a new policy from Mayor Eric Adams. Eric Adams has been on this program twice. He credits a healthy vegan diet, a whole food plant-based diet, for reversing his diabetes, turning his health around, giving him much better quality of life, more energy, and he looks fabulous. And just this week, we learned that he said that he occasionally eats fish.
Right.
Womp, womp, womp. Right. Okay, we've heard this how many times?
Now, I know how much this hurts you because you are a huge fan of Eric.
I am.
And this kind of breaks your heart.
It's like, why does one feel like they need to eat flesh? And fish, by the way, is animal flesh.
I think a lot of people think that they're not going to get a necessary nutrient if they don't eat a little fish. I know that's the fallacy going around about a lot.
Yes. We don't want to slam Eric Adams. The only thing is that when people see or know that he is eating fish even occasionally and not eating 100% vegan diet, then they'll say, oh, ho, 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 because a vegan diet is inadequate or whatever.
Well, isn't that the case too?
Nobody can do it.
I mean, there was this, again, a meme going around, and it had Einstein. There was a series of equations, and the last equation was wrong, and all of his students were pointing the finger and laughing at him that he got that last equation wrong. And then Einstein said, well, you see that? I got all of these right and you said nothing. But because I got the last one wrong, that's the only thing you're going to look at. And so with Eric, he's done all of this good for the vegan lifestyle, for the vegan movement, especially when it comes to saving people's lives and reversing chronic diseases. But now they're going to point the finger at him and just blow this one thing up that he occasionally eats a fish.
Yeah. The message is,
humans suck.
Progress, not perfection.
That's the message.
Yeah, humans suck. But it's progress. We want progress. We don't expect perfection. He says he's imperfect. He's perfectly imperfect. Ah. Is that like Mary Poppins being practically perfect?
I think so. He's perfectly imperfect, was a quote.
Yeah. And he says he's not as disciplined as he'd like to be, although he's done tremendously well because he was going blind and now he sees and he's in perfect health because of a change in his diet. There are many leaders in the food movement who say that if everyone just ate less animals, it would be more powerful than if a few people went vegan.
Of course, right.
I want the whole world to go vegan, okay? But I know I'm not going to get what I want.
No.
But still,
you're not.
We're going to rejoice because we have Vegan Fridays in New York City. And who ever thought that would happen? I never did.
New York is such an awesome place. It's been the leader in so many different things. Again, I'll just go into the theme song. New York, New York.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So shout out to Eric for being perfectly imperfect.
Perfectly imperfect.
He's got a lot of people, including the New York Times, who don't like him very much. So
I get that impression.
Yeah.
They're always picking on him.
We're not going to be picking on him in this program.
No, I support what he's doing. And I really believe he has a long-term vision, unlike most politicians who have short-term.
Well, we've known a lot of other vegans, quote, I'm putting big air quotes now, who have occasionally slipped back and had a piece of fish.
Sure.
We can't really mention their names, but these people have been poster children for
the vegan movement.
The vegan movement. And then we find out that they occasionally have a piece of fish. There's something that they think they need in that fish. We're here to tell you that you really don't. And I think it's fish oil. They think they need fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that you've talked about millions of times on this program. And it's called DHA. Tell us a little bit about that and how you can get a vegan version of it.
Right. So where do the fish get the DHA that they're swimming around with? They get it from algae.
Right.
And we can get it from algae too.
And there's actually products.
And we get it. Our bodies can make it too. So we want to consume a lot of omega-3 fatty acids, and then our body makes DHA. But as we age, we may not make it as well, and we may need more.
Right.
And that's why we get a vegan version. We consume a supplement, a vegan algae version.
And it's good for our brains.
Right. It's good for our hearts. It's probably good for a lot of things that we don't even know about.
Right.
And a little goes a long way.
It does.
Tiny little dropper.
It's like an eyedropper.
Yeah, it's liquid.
And it's tasty.
Well, we use Dr. Furman's brand. There are other brands. I found that his brand is the most fresh tasting. I don't know why that is.
And you keep it in the refrigerator after
yes.
you open it.
Yes, indeed.
It's just like
and
having a little...
And we forgot to take it today.
Yeah. Boom. It's like having a little shot of oil every day to keep your brain fat. Another book that you've read and had the authors on the program, which is all about Alzheimer's, was The Sherazides, correct?
Yes, they're awesome. I talked about their first book, The Alzheimer's Solution.
It's winter, and there's a lot of grayness going on here. We were just in the blue sun of Northern California, and we got back to New York, and everything's very gray.
It's dreary.
It's kind of dreary.
It's very dreary.
But so it's great weather to curl up with a good book, and I would suggest that... That would be a great book to curl up with.
You mean not a fiction book with a story?
No. Why escape? Stay in reality. Reality is an important
Stay
spot.
Stay in reality.
Right.
What else is good in the cold weather?
Soup.
Soup. Soup. Soup.
Soup is good food.
We've been away, and we've been in different people's homes, house sitting. We've been in hotels. We've been in hotels that allegedly have complete kitchens or full kitchens, but they don't.
We talked about that, didn't we?
We did. We've been still making our own food. But then we come home. We come home to all the pots and pans and all the appliances we're used to. But what we didn't have was inventory. We didn't have a stocked pantry or refrigerator or freezer of all the things we like to reach for to make everything that we make. To make our meals wonderful.
Yeah.
We've been suffering.
Yeah. Really suffering.
So we just got 11 pounds of dates, organic dates, from Food to Live. Thank you, Food to Live.
Yeah, another organization we need to shout out.
They're in Brooklyn, and I'm sure they source their food from all over the world, but they get it to us very quickly, and I highly recommend them. But you have to keep in mind, you have to buy in bulk from Food to Live. Because if you buy things by the pound, it's going to be a fortune.
Right.
But when you buy 8 pounds, 10 pounds of something, it's competitive. And the quality is outstanding.
It's great. Those dates are amazing. Because speaking of SOS-free diets, we're trying to be as clean as possible around the Responsible Eating and Living Kitchen. We do not use any sugar anymore, but we do use dates to sweeten things. And it works out really well because we got this large quantity of dates from Food to Live and we make date paste.
Mm-hmm.
And we throw a couple of dates in a smoothie or in a salad
it just
dressing.
It makes life so much sweeter.
It's very nice and yeah. It's very sweet. And at night, if we want something sweet, we have a date. And
okay,
I have
the
date.
Next question is, we've talked about this about a year or two ago, but soy milk, organic
tough.
Soy milk.
Very tough to find.
Soybeans and water, is there a shortage? Is there a soy milk shortage of just soybeans and water? We've been buying cases of West soy. That's hard to find or outrageous.
And occasionally we'll walk into Trader Joe's who has
pick up a few.
The soy milk, which is just soybeans and water, and sometimes they're cleaned out.
Yeah, what's happening, folks? Do I have to buy soybeans and make soy milk again?
Probably. Mm. But what I usually do when we're out of soy milk is I'll take a few raw cashews, another thing we buy at Food to Live, and put a quarter cup of raw cashews in the Vitamix, throw a couple of cups of water in there, throw a couple of dates in there, quarter teaspoon, half a teaspoon of vanilla, and make a very luxurious cashew milk, which is really good.
Really good.
Another thing that was really scary when we were at the stores in Northern California, it's almost like everyone's listening to this program because they're going out and buying it.
Oh, right.
Is distilled water. Now, we've talked many, many times on this program about how we distill our own water. And why is that, Karen? Why is distilled water better than the stuff that's coming out of the tap?
Okay, we have to have a lot of gratitude for water coming out of a tap.
Lots of gratitude.
This is an amazing thing, and people for most of humanity's life did not have running water in their...
No, it's great.
...in their homes. They didn't even have homes. But now we have homes, we have running water, we have toilets, we have showers and bathtubs, and this is a luxury. But the water that's coming to our homes is contaminated. And it may just be contaminated from old pipes, but it also can be contaminated from things leaching into the water supply. And this really depends on your location. And it can also depend on the time, because there could be a secret spill of something and then it goes away. And somewhere else there could be a dump of something and then it goes away. So the water may change. Its quality may change. And a lot of times, I think, we don't know about little accidental dumps here and there. So we have to purify our water. Now, there's many ways to purify water. Personally, my favorite is distillation, because distillation is the same every time. When you buy filters, and there are many quality, there are many different kinds of filters. Some are better quality, some less so. They meet their specification on the first pass. But as you continue to use that filter, and that could be 6 months, a year and a half, the filter degrades and you're not meeting the specification. It's not removing all the things that it promised to do on the first pass. Distillation is always the same. So we use distilled water. We also have an under the sink charcoal filter, and we change that periodically. And that's in case the distillation
misses something.
For one reason, if it misses something, or if we've been out of town and we haven't had a chance to run the distiller. But I believe in distillation. So we've been talking about distilled water. And then when we travel and we don't have our distiller, we'll buy distilled water. I don't like to do it because it comes in plastic, but that's what we do.
Yeah, so we buy distilled water. And recently, we have not been able to find distilled water on the shelves. And I was in a supermarket one day, a couple of weeks ago, and there was someone standing next to me, and they were freaking out because they said they had been to like five stores. All of the distilled water was gone. What's happening? Is there something going on here? And I said, yeah, people are getting the word that distilled water is better, so they're buying the distilled water.
But what they should be doing is buy a distiller and make it at
right.
home.
So my point is, another small business, today we're talking about small businesses that we like, and we hope you'll like them too, that makes distillers as well.
Aqua Nui.
They make distillers.
They make them in the United States.
They make
Hello,
them. Yeah.
What's made in the United States today in the United States?
And they sell them, and we'll also put a link up to their website. Now, it requires effort
it
to
does.
Distill your water every day. You've got to be on a schedule. We're people of the theater, and what comes to mind is, you know, Music Man, when Harold Hill says, you got trouble if you leave a cistern empty on a Saturday night. Well, we basically have a cistern that we keep full morning, noon, and night that keeps our water distilling. You've got to do some pre-planning. You've got to have some nice glass bottles to, once you distill your water, you pour them in the glass bottles. They make lots of very nice glass bottles out there.
I love the ones we have. It took us a long time to find them, but I love them.
But it's fun, and you have to make it a thing.
And it's like going to the well. You used to say that.
Right. It's going to the well. And so we've got this wonderful water coming into our homes. We want to make it extra special and get out as many of the impurities as we can. So you have come up with this brilliant idea about distilling the water, which I used to grumble about at the beginning of our relationship, as I grumbled about many things. That has become routine. And distilling the water is just another.
But Gary, can you taste the difference?
You really can. You know, for a while there, we were having to drink water that hadn't been distilled. Bottled water. I prefer to drink it out of the tap in that case.
One note about distillers. There are many distillers out there. Some of them are very inexpensive, like $100. The Aqua Nui is more expensive, but there are reasons for that. And the Aqua Nui is the only distiller I know that does something different than the others. And that is, it leaves a certain amount of water in the bottom of the tank. So as you're distilling off the pure water, the contaminants are concentrating in the remaining water below. You don't want to distill all the water off, because that'll just put crap back into your water. They leave a considerable amount, a few inches at the bottom of the tank that we drain off every time we use it.
And
the other distillers don't do that.
And they say you don't have to drain it off every time you use the distiller, but we do.
We anyway. Do. We like to start clean every time.
Right.
And there are many forms of water purification. There's reverse osmosis, and there's all kinds of filtration systems, as I mentioned before. Do something.
Yeah.
Do something. Something is better than nothing. Some people have the Brita. The Brita doesn't do a whole lot, but if you've got a Brita, at least change it regularly.
But one of the things that you really like the distiller for is because, as you were talking about, things leach into the soil and then gets into our water supply. The distiller is pretty effective on getting that stuff
absolutely
out of your water.
Absolutely.
For example, pesticides that are used in people's gardens.
Yeah.
And herbicides and things. I mean, if we drink those, speaking of Alzheimer's, that could lead to
absolutely
cancer, a lot of Alzheimer's.
Right on the nose, Gary. Neurological damage caused by pesticides, herbicides. I also want to say with distilled water, people may be using more of it for different reasons other than drinking. So I use a neti pot. And I use a neti pot when I feel like a cold is coming on or I feel that the air is dry. And a neti pot is a small little porcelain pot. It looks like a squash teapot. And you add some...
It looks like a genie's lamp.
Yeah, it does.
Right?
Yeah, you add a little bit of sea salt to it. And you rinse your nasal passages. It's kind of gross to watch it because you tilt your head and you pour the water in one nostril and you have it pour out the other and then do the other side. But it has proven benefits. And I just feel so good after I do it. I don't do it all the time. I just do it when I need to. But you need to use distilled water.
And there's a reason for that because it's pure.
It's pure.
If it's good enough for your iron, it's good enough for your body.
Right. You're supposed to put distilled water in the iron, right?
Right, because it clogs up
the
iron.
You don't want all those mineral deposits in your iron.
Right, definitely.
And let's talk about minerals. So some people say when you distill your water, it has no minerals in it. You probably have to triple distill or quadruple distill to get everything out of your water, but you shouldn't be going to your water for minerals. Get your minerals from food.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
don't
really
worry
the
about
important
it.
Part of this is get your minerals from food. Get hydrate with water and get your minerals from food. What other things do we drink around here?
Well,
we drink green juice.
We drink green juice.
And we've been talking a lot about green juice and juice makers. I think it would be a really fun thing to do is to buy a commercial juicer and then go stand out on the street corner and
sell green juice?
Sell green juice.
Like lemonade?
Like kids sell lemonade. See this old guy out there on the street corner. Come and get your green juice.
Okay, now, the lemonade used to sell for like 10 cents a cup.
This would be $10 a cup.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Because this would be
make.
Organic. This would be organic
right.
green juice.
Hey, you know, you might do well, but you probably need a license.
And
you probably need a permit.
In New York?
Yeah, right?
Wow. Things have changed.
And you need to pass that course that I took. I might have to sell it for you.
Well, there you go. You have the certificate.
I have the certificate.
Yeah. Right. I have owned restaurants and bars.
It doesn't count.
But I have not passed nor taken the course.
You can take it online.
Oh, well, I'll have to do that.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm going to start selling green juice on the corner.
I like it. I think more people would drink it if it was more accessible.
That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should drink it. It's great. Speaking of minerals, you just mentioned how the water, a lot of people go to the water for minerals, but they need to go directly to green juice.
To the green juice. Yeah.
Right.
Good point, Gary.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, green juice is one of these miracle liquids. And when I coach people who are in healing crisis, I tell them, you must juice, you must juice. And they don't all listen to me. I don't take it personally. But I believe that that's one of the most important things to
do.
Such
a great way to get those nutrients you were talking about that people think they need their minerals and nutrients.
Mm-hmm. And it goes into the body so quickly, so efficiently.
People think they're getting it in their water, but they really can get it in their food, and especially if they juice. And if people don't want to juice their own, there's a lot of great organic juices out there that they can buy.
There are. They do come in plastic bottles, which we're not excited about.
Not all places.
But some?
Some places, mom and pops.
Some mom and pops, right.
A lot of mom and pop shops are opening up green juices. And they come in glass bottles.
And you can return the glass bottles.
And you can return the glass
bottles. Remember the days when we used to get things in glass and return them.
Yeah, especially now. Green juice in glass would be a nice thing.
Yeah, remember the milk bottles that were delivered to your doorstep?
Sure.
That was a long time ago, folks. We're talking about the 60s.
I think some communities probably still have a soy milk delivery person. You're talking, I need to find that soy milk delivery person because we're out of soy milk.
Yeah, we do. If anybody knows a soy milk delivery person.
In glass bottles.
That's in our alternative universe.
No, but seriously, there are a lot more people getting hip to the fact that putting things in plastic just isn't a good idea. Yeah, for the environment. But also, as you mentioned earlier, plastic has things that leach into the thing you're drinking, so can be toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of companies are now going back to glass. One of them that I remember seeing in a place called Los Gatos.
The cats.
California. Meow. Is a place called Juice Company LG. And I believe they are on North Santa Cruz Avenue, if you're in that area. And they have their juice in glass.
That's right.
Bottles. And you can bring the glass bottle back.
And they'll wash them and reuse them.
And, you know, a lot of people say, it's so expensive. But, hey, I think it's also organic. So that makes
it's interesting. You could pay $15 in a restaurant for a glass of wine or more.
Right. But you're not.
But you're not going to get a glass of green juice for the same price in a restaurant.
Or are you?
Oh, some restaurants do sell green juice. It's usually around $10, though.
Again, Candle Cafe was.
They used to. That was my cocktail.
Yeah, you could
the
go
green
in there.
Goddess.
And you would always get it without apple.
Without apple, because I'm not sweet.
But it's important to note that there are green juices made now in stores that you can pick up and bring home and drink and not have to make them. And they're
That's
organic.
Right.
And a lot of them, especially the ones that when we're traveling, we'll buy them.
I'm grateful for them.
Right. They don't have apple in them. They mm-hmm. just have
They have the vegetables. It might have lemon juice, which is not sweet.
So
and it's good.
Very, very accessible. But now that we've talked about it, you'll go into the store and won't be
there'll
there.
Be a shortage.
There'll be a shortage of green juice. But it's really good for you. And if you're thirsty, don't drink that sports drink stuff. Get
oh,
a green
please.
Juice.
Oh, please. Gatorade? Oh, please. Can we just say one more time? Don't
well,
ever.
Well, there's all kinds of.
Don't ever use Gatorade. Don't give it to your children. It's a disaster. It's filled with artificial colors and sweeteners. You don't need it. If you think you need it after you're working out, you don't.
Right.
Okay?
But you could grab a green juice.
You could grab a green juice. You could grab a banana.
You could grab a glass of distilled water.
Distilled water.
Hey, that's a thing that we should do here at Responsible Eating and Living. We should manufacture distilled water.
We do. And we use it
for
ourselves.
I know, but we should make it available to everybody.
In glass bottles.
In glass bottles.
Or better yet, we could just pipe the city. But then the pipes might get contaminated. So
right. No, well,
it's hard living on this planet.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that we could do.
There are.
You know, because this theme is the small businesses. And right here on the air, we are talking about starting a small business, and that's how easy it is. So there's a lot of great things still that we can do.
I wanted to say one more thing, because we're coming towards the end of this wonderful program, and it's about gratitude again. So at the end of the year, we get donations. We get donations throughout the year, but most people give to nonprofit charitable organizations at the end of the year. And I'm always grateful to receive them. And for those who have donated to our nonprofit, Responsible Eating and Living, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm very grateful. Gary's grateful. And I especially want to thank the anonymous donors. Yeah. I don't know who you are. I don't know how to say thank you. It's kind of frustrating. So whoever you are, I guess you don't feel like you need acknowledgement or a thank you, but it is a little frustrating for us when we get generous donations and we don't know who you are and we can't thank you. So
we
thank
can't
you.
Give you a big virtual hug and
exactly.
say thank you.
Thank you.
So we're doing it now on the air. Big virtual hugs to you all and a green juice, a virtual green juice.
Well, you know what a virtual green juice could be, Gary?
What's that?
It could be Bilal's Easy Kale, the kale powder.
Ah, another small business.
Another small business.
Ah, you saved the best for last. Bilal.
Bilal. So Easy Kale, we talked about it on this program. It's just powdered kale, and he has a proprietary process that takes a lot of the taste out of it, although you can still taste it, but it's not a very strong kale taste, but it still has all the nutrition, and it's really good for people who have a hard time eating greens, especially for children. You could sprinkle it on everything, and you can ship it without refrigeration.
But it is in plastic.
It is in plastic. He is working. I know this personally. He is working on more sustainable packaging.
So Bilal is perfectly imperfect.
Yes.
As many of us are. You know, I can't think of anyone who isn't perfectly imperfect.
Well, you have to be.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a small business, because to get started, sometimes you can't create a product that's going to be exactly what you want if you don't have the funding behind you.
No. So we shan't sit in judgment of people who...
Oh, we shall. Everybody judges, but we shouldn't judge.
We shouldn't judge.
We should not
judge. We're all perfectly imperfect. And on that note, Karen Hartglass, be my Valentine.
I am your Valentine. Will you be mine?
I will.
Wonderful. I can't wait.
Yeah. All right. So I'm guessing this is time to start wrapping things up. So speaking of wrapping things up, let's talk about, you know, we're talking a lot about water. We're talking a lot about cleanliness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not knowing what's going in the soil, all of these great things. But let's talk about what we unwrapped for the holidays.
Okay, yeah. One of your wonderful family members gave us for the winter holidays, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever holiday you want to call it, we got something called a tushy.
Yeah.
And this is something that became very popular at the beginning of the pandemic when people were going crazy about a toilet paper shortage.
Right.
There's another shortage, right? And this is something that you can easily plumb into your toilet so that you can rinse yourself. It's like a bidet.
It is a bidet.
It is. It's a bidet. It rinses you off, but it's in the toilet. Bidets used to be separate.
Separate.
But this is in the toilet.
And it attaches to the toilet seat.
It does. And so it washes your bum.
Right.
Or your butt, whatever you want to call it.
So that paper shortage, you are seriously laughing in the face of the paper shortage.
So you're using less toilet paper. You still may use some to kind of dry off. There are some more sophisticated models from other companies, and we tried some when we were on the road this past trip. There are some that warm the water. There are some that have an air supply.
This wakes you up because the water's cold.
The water is freezing. We're here in New York, and it's cold out, and the water's cold. But it does rinse you off very nicely, and I think it's a good thing to do.
Again, it's for the environment, right?
Yeah. So we have something called the Tushy.
And I'm sure there are many, many.
There are many, many brands and many models, and if you're interested, you can look into it, but I recommend it.
Thanks, Tammy and Mark.
Yeah, so drink clean water, distilled water, and then on the way out, rinse your butt.
Rinse your butt. That's a great way to end today's program,
yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Gary.
These shows
are always a surprise for me to see where we go with them. Always fun.
No, we plan all of this.
I know we do. Anyway, it's always great fun to chat with you.
Great fun to chat with you, Karen. Oh, so what would you do on Valentine's Day this year?
Well, I think I'd like to start with a yummy breakfast that you're going to make me.
Okay. And how about getting a brand new vegan handbag from Europe?
Okay.
Yeah. So let's talk about that.
I just got this desire to buy the most expensive handbag I've ever owned. And I was just taken by the story behind it. It's a
small business, right?
Small business in France, a father-daughter team.
See,
and they're making really gorgeous bags out of cork.
Cork.
I haven't gotten it yet, but we just bought it yesterday. And it's by the company called La Fleur. Paris, La Fleur, Paris. And I will link to it in this program. They also have, they have bags. They have a big bag. They have a smaller bag. They have clutches and purses and little
really,
things.
Really, a great company.
Three colors and so many reviews, and they're all five stars. So there you go.
So that's going to, you're going to bring that somewhere on Valentine's Day because I'm taking you out.
It's supposed to arrive here very soon.
Gary. Yeah.
I'm excited about
that. So wherever we go, you'll have a new handbag.
No.
Yeah. A new handbag from France.
Ooh la la.
From a small business.
From a small business.
What a great way to
end
it.
So there's a shout out to La Flor. We don't get any credit for this. I'm just excited about my new vegan.
We'll have clean tushies and we'll be out in Manhattan.
That sounds good.
All right, Karen.
Gary.
Always a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Have a delicious week.